It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome to a Valentine's Day edition of the Hockey News Podcast. Ryan, there's no one I'd be rather spending this day with than you. Let's talk about some hockey. Obviously, it's the Hockey News Podcast presented by BetMGM and McKennie Hockey. Mm-hmm. Ryan, I'm not sure about you. It was obviously the Super Bowl over the weekend.
Yes.
Lots of fun. Great. Yes. But I don't know about you, but I could barely focus because I was on pins and needles for Chychrun Watch.
Chychrun Watch was
great. It was Chychrun Watch and...
Day-to-day with trade.
Let me tell you, man. It was... First of all, love that if for anyone who didn't know, Jacob Chychrun was scratched from by the Coyotes for Saturday's game due to, as they report it, trade-related reasons. Which means like they're just protecting their asset.
Yeah,
he's they're gonna trade him, and they're scratching so he doesn't get injured. Now, then everything happened, right? Like I got in on the kerfuffle a little bit, and then Jeff Merrick immediately debunked that. But then saying the Leafs are in it, and then back and forth. Then you're hearing the LA Kings are in on it, and then back and forth and everything again. And yet we are still here. This is Tuesday at 11:32 in the morning, and Eastern time. And Jacob Chychrun is still a member of the Arizona Coyotes.
Yes.
What do we make of this? Where is he going? What do we think? This is quite the interesting predicament here.
It is, and he was scratched for trade related reasons versus Nashville the other night as well. So they kept it going there, and smart move by the Arizona Coyotes. And you have this incredible asset, right? And I think what we've seen so far with GM Bill Armstrong is he has a master plan, and he's accruing assets. He's building this team from the ground up.
Oh yeah, and
he's not going to rush into things. I mean, let's keep in mind the trade deadline is not until March 3rd.
It's about 3 weeks away or so.
Yeah, so there is time. In terms of destination, I mean, it's very interesting. Yeah, Edmonton makes sense. Mm-hmm. Los Angeles does make sense. It's funny, too. Part of me is like, I know Boston is looking for another top four defenseman. Do they have the assets / cap space to make it work? Lots of teams, obviously, are pretty nimble when it comes to the cap.
Yes.
So I'm at the point now where I say anything is possible, pretty much, in terms of, moving money out in order to bring money in. You could even get a third team involved, really, when it comes to salary. So... I'm going to say Boston is my dark horse, and it's a matter of Armstrong trying to get the best deal he can for what is one of the best assets on the market right now.
Well, yeah, so I was thinking about this, and I mentioned this on Staff and Graph yesterday with Rachel Dory, in that Jacob Chychrun, first of all, he's a phenomenal defenseman. So just from a totally rudimentary standpoint, his trade value should be astronomical.
Right.
But then you look at if you look at the categories of what a trade asset what heightens a player's trade value, right? So position need. He is a right shot defenseman. That is the most scarce position in the NHL, other than goalie maybe.
Right.
But a puck moving right shot defenseman, just a right shot defenseman in general, but a puck moving right shot defenseman. Mm. It's one of the most scarce assets in the league. Yeah. He's also big. He's 6'2", 215, 220. So, you got size there. He's young. He's only 24. He's just now entering his prime. This might be his first prime year. And keep in mind, the year before, he was almost a point-per-game defenseman on the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. So, there he's got the age. Team control. He's under contract for another 2 years. So, that's huge. And then, salary-wise, cap implications, $4.6 million. He checks every single box you can possibly have. So there's a reason why his trade value is skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Now, from what I heard, what I reported, I don't usually put my name onto information.
Put your name on it.
Exactly, because I'm terrified,
right?
Usually. But But I felt confident enough is that the Leafs were looking at him. They were in active pursuit. They're one of the teams that upped their interest last week. Mm-hmm. It's kind of gone dark on that front right now. And then Elliot Friedman reported yesterday that they're looking for a forward instead of a defenseman. Like, mm-hmm. they're following that. But Boston, they do have their first round picks for the next 3 years, really. So they could, but like, I don't know if they have the ass. And I would like the fit in Boston, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would make them far and away the cup favorite. Like, they are already, but
yeah. And you figure, like, you know, a lot of people have alluded to like the last dance for Boston this year. Yeah. You know, talking about the Netflix series about the Chicago Bulls, where, you know, we don't know how much longer Patrice Bergeron is going to play in the NHL, and he is one of the best two-way players of all time. So why not push all your chips into the middle, where you already have, you know, the best record in the NHL, and you have this amazing dressing room culture, you have goaltending, yeah. you have defense, you have depth up front. Why not just say, let's get yeah. at least one, let's get one more ring in the Bergeron era, and whatever happens after that, we're cool.
I don't think they have the assets for it, though.
Well, I mean, first rounders?
Yes, yeah. they're good on that, but like, do they have any prospects that are...
Well, it's funny, because we're going to talk about this later on, but let's just jump to the Bruins right now,
yes,
since we're on
the
topic.
Yes, that's what I was going
to
say, yeah.
If I'm Bill Armstrong, obviously I'm asking for as many first rounders as I can get.
Yeah.
But if you want tangible roster players as well, I should say prospects.
Yes.
Brandon Bussey, the goaltender, playing in Providence right now in the AHL. He was a free agent signing by the Bruins out mm-hmm. of Western Michigan. Having a fantastic rookie pro year, great size.
Yeah.
Has shown a ton of promise. So I would ask for him mm-hmm. straight off the hop. From there, I think you ask for Fabian Lysell and see what they say. I think Fabian Lysell still needs a lot of work.
Yes. We saw that in the World Juniors.
And maybe he's better situated in Boston where he can be around a veteran group mm-hmm. in the future. But there's no denying the talent he has as a raw prospect.
Yeah.
And then, if you're looking at, if you need any cap ballast, then a roster player, I don't know who would it be on Boston.
They have their cap friendly in front of me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like A.J. Greer, maybe? He's 26,
Sure, right? Just some salary to go the other way. Somebody that can...
Jacob Lauko?
I'm a big Lauko fan.
Okay, well, never mind. Know? Thomas Nosek, maybe, then. You know, who knows?
Well, no, I'm saying if I'm Arizona,
oh, then
I would
you
totally...
Want, okay,
yeah, I like Lauko
a lot. I thought you were saying, no, don't trade him. I'm a Lauko fan.
No, I'm going the other way on that.
Yeah.
So I think the Bruins could put together a pretty decent package under the assumption that the first rounders are going to be the big currency, even though they might end up being 32nd overall.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is that like if you're the... Obviously, any team that's going to be trading for Jacob Chychrun, I think this year, and maybe not, we'll cover on potentially a bottom team or a potential lottery team that might be
right.
Is hoping to win the cup, so their pick is likely going to be high. But
yeah.
like with Boston, it's almost guaranteed really that's going to be potentially the 32nd overall pick. So how impactful? And then I think maybe the next year,
right.
you're hoping for that to be you're hoping for the 2024 pick to be unprotected. Because yeah. then hopefully, maybe if they have to take that step back, maybe if Bergeron retires yeah. and, Krejci goes back and they have to do all this stuff.
Mm. But maybe it's in the 20s.
Maybe it's in the 20s or yeah. maybe, it's close to a lottery. Who knows? But, I'm just shocked that it hasn't materialized yet, just with how much noise there's been, how much I've personally heard, and then how much is being reported, and there's millions of teams in on this, and it just... Like, it just seems like every top team is in on him. I don't understand how it hasn't happened yet, and you're keeping him out, obviously, to protect your asset.
Yeah.
But also, you can't force a guy not to play. Like, you can healthy scratch him all you want.
Yeah.
But you put out that it was for trade-related reasons.
Yeah.
So you can't say this performance-based. You have
to,
yeah. So are we going to sit here and Jacob Chychrun's not going to play another game for another 3 weeks?
I don't think it's going to be that dire. And I think Jacob Chychrun knows the score here, obviously.
I would hope so.
So I don't think he's, losing any sleep over this. He knows it's a business. And I mean, he's been injured this season.
Yeah,
so
but I
he
would
knows
play.
How important it is to be healthy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't imagine it's going to take too much longer, but at the same time, it's got to be the right deal.
Yes.
Right? You know, I mean, Bill Armstrong's not going to be swayed by, you know, what the media wants him to do.
No, yeah. Obviously. Bill Armstrong doesn't have to listen to me.
But it's one of my favorite Pulp Fiction quotes. When you scamps get together, you're worse than the Seven Circle.
Yeah, there you go. Well, all I'm saying is I'm a 24-year-old player. I missed time due to injury, so I'm chomping at the bit to just play hockey.
Right.
I'd want this to be wrapped up expeditiously, you know, just so I could, again, step on the ice. Because right now I'm being held out from my job because my employer is trying to move me away. Yeah. And yes, I want to move away.
Yeah.
But still, it's like it's not great. Another guy who is getting kept out, another big trade chip, and I love the transparency
here. It's very refreshing.
It is so funny that like this happened maybe like half a week after the New York Islanders signed Bo Horvat to an 8-year extension to be like a centerpiece of their team, and they didn't even tell us how much he was going to make.
Right.
And now Arizona's like, oh, by the way, we're trading our best player. You know, here it is.
Yeah.
You know? And Columbus doing it too with Vladislav Gavrikov. Gavrikov is one of the most confounding players to me, just based on his perception. I like to call him Vladislav first and a prospect Gavrikov because everyone says that's his price.
Right.
Why?
Because he's a defenseman and it's the trade deadline. Doesn't have to make sense. What did Ben Chiarot get last year?
Oh, I know. And Ben Chiarot could have potentially netted the Montreal Canadiens Connor Bedard. Who knows? That can happen. But like Gavrikov, I look at all of his numbers. I don't see it. He's not even an RFA, so he's a pure rental. He's a UFA.
Yeah.
He's not right-handed.
Right.
He doesn't put up points. He's got 10 points in 52 games. Mm. He doesn't really push possession that well. Mm. And at the end of the day, he's 27. He's not like a young guy. Like, and yet we're here thinking like, oh, teams are gonna have to give up a massive package for him.
Yeah.
Where is the appeal here?
Well, he's a stopper. Right? And I mean, think about how ravaged that Columbus blue line has been this year with the lack of Zach Werenski. I know that, you know, in past seasons, and even this season, I mean, the Blue Jackets have been very pleased with what they got in Gavrikov.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's very similar to the rumors we're hearing out of Montreal with Joel Edmondson, where...
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's like, well, Joel Edmondson's not going to get you points, but Joel Edmondson plays playoff-style hockey, right? It's going to be a bit rougher. It's going to be a little more hemmed in. Gavrikov's the same, where it's like, yeah, he's not going to rush up the ice like Erik Karlsson, but he could stop Erik Karlsson from rushing too far into the zone based on the skill set he has. So that's the thing where, you know, teams are starting, we always say it's a copycat league, and teams recently have said, okay, well, Tampa Bay, yes, they were skilled, but they were also big on the back end. You know, the St. Louis Blues, that was a big, tough team to play against. So they're looking at the success that those teams had. You know, Colorado, obviously a bit different. Mm-hmm. They just killed you with speed.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, they were big up front. You look at guys like McKinnon, Rantanen, Nichushkin, you know, Landeskog, all big dudes. Kadri was not fun to play against, right? You know, they did bring in Josh Manson on the back end. And obviously when you have Cale Makar, you have a huge advantage in terms of puck moving. But that's the mindset that a lot of GMs are going to have at the deadline is, how can we make sure we're covered for the playoffs? It's not about necessarily getting like the splashiest name, but how can we get somebody that really fits a need? And I would also say that's why a lot of, you know, I think fan bases are clamoring for Luke Shen.
Yes.
Stanley Cup winner Luke Shen. Stay-at-home Luke Shen. Experienced Luke Shen.
But Luke Shen is not commanding a first... and a prospect. Luke Shen will likely get
to our knowledge.
Oh, that's true. But like, Luke Shen will likely get, it was being reported like a second round pick, you know, stuff like that. If I was a team, I'd be going Luke Shen over Vladislav Gavrikov just based on the acquisition price alone. They have the exact same term on their contracts.
Yep.
Like, if you think you want to re-sign Gavrikov, cool. Like, he's 27, so he's still in the middle of his prime. But like, man, it's just, it's nuts. Again, like you mentioned Ben Chiarot, like the prices for these defensemen, these playoff style defensemen, just Scott, like this, did no one learn anything from Ben Chiarot last year?
No.
Did no one learn, like, Ben Chiarot can legitimately get the Montreal Canadiens Connor Bedard. The Florida Panthers could have traded 20 games and a second round sweep with Ben Chiarot for a chance at picking Connor Bedard this year.
Mm.
That is bonkers to me. And when you look at this with, like, Jacob Chychrun is like a slam dunk, like, he's a star. He's a legitimate star. He's one of the best young defensemen in the game. He's only going to get better, and he's already pretty darn good right now.
Yeah.
So there's no real risk there other than injury.
Yes.
But, like, how much better is Gavrikov going to get? You know, he's 27. He's not, like, he's approaching his decline. Like, it's, like, you know, and keep in mind, I turned 27 in a couple days. Like, I'm already in my decline. I'm approaching my decline. I wouldn't trade a first in a prospect for me.
But you only need him to be very good for another 4 months.
That's good. If that's worth mortgaging a potential part of your future, I mean,
If you get that ring, that's
true.
Everything.
That covers everything up.
And
you're right.
You know, I've said this about, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks, where, you know, yeah, they're in a rough spot right now. It's been pretty desolate there for a couple of years, but
they have those cups.
They got rings.
They have those three cups.
And pretty much, I would say 99% of their fan base can remember a Stanley Cup parade.
Look, even like for example in Toronto, like the Toronto Raptors are really bad right now. The Toronto Raptors suck right now.
Yeah,
I don't care. They won the championship in 2019. I stood on top of a bus in Dundas Square. It was the last time I really felt joy. Yeah, cool. I'm good with it. All right, moving on to a nice little exercise Ryan has for us here is that if you're a seller, and there are a lot of sellers, so I think we're gonna list them as Carolina or no as a buyer. Sorry, if you're a buyer. We're going to list them as Carolina, Boston, Los Angeles, so the Kings, the Oilers, the Leafs, and the Stars. Yeah. Which, like, you know, obviously, if you want to get one of the big fish, you're likely going to have to give up a major prospect. Which one, and we're going to go through these teams, should you be willing to part with?
Yeah, like, if I'm a seller GM, if I'm San Jose, if I'm Mike Greer, if I'm Bill Armstrong in Arizona, who am I asking for?
Yes, and who would you be willing to give up?
Yeah. Yes. So we already covered Boston. Yes. Brandon Bussey was going to be my answer there. Carolina, if I'm dealing with Carolina at this, and I will say this first one is one of the exceptions, but for the most part, I was going for guys that are already under contract.
Yes.
Because you will have draft picks you haven't signed yet, particularly NCAA draft picks, where it's like, okay, they'll probably sign with you, but there's no guarantee. I'm going to break that with the very first one with Carolina, Cruz Lucius.
Yeah.
Playing at the University of Wisconsin, one of the biggest offensive drivers on that Badgers team, which has been a weird roller coaster. Like they haven't been good, but then they just beat the number one Golden Gophers on the weekend. So sort of an interesting team there. I would suspect, you know, Cruz Lucius is going to play at least one more year of college hockey. But again, if you're a seller, you don't care about that. You just want good assets. Wicked offensive player. Carolina, they've kind of graduated a lot of their young guys already. Some of them have sort of fallen by the wayside, but Cruz Lucius would be the guy that I would want included in a deal if I was trading with the Hurricanes.
Now, what do you think about Ryan Suzuki?
An interesting one. I think he's a guy that...
First round pick.
Yeah, first round pick. I'd like to see him take another step forward at the pro level. But, you know, he is a center, or he's a natural center.
Yes.
So he would be intriguing. That's true. I would go Cruz Lucius first because he's younger, and I think he has a little more offensive potential, but Suzuki would be interesting.
Yeah. Well, Ryan Suzuki's the only, like, first-round pick that's signed to an ELC that hasn't graduated to the NHL yet, like, for Carolina. Like, that's currently on their non-roster. So in terms of, like...
Technically, Dominic... Was Baca first rounder? I can't remember. But he was traded.
He was traded, yeah. He acquired really him through trade. Also, like, Ryan Suzuki's 21. Dominic Baca's 23. You know, there's a little difference there.
For sure.
All right, let's go to the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, so I would love to make a trade with the Dallas Stars because they have been draft beasts lately.
Yes.
And I almost want to, like, not take advantage because they're one of the best teams in the league, but they have so many good young players, and we have, you know, Wyatt Johnson already up with the team. Logan Stankoven, we've seen him work magic at the past two World Juniors, dating back to the summer in Edmonton. Yep. And he's going to have a chance to play for a Memorial Cup with Kamloops because they're hosting this year. So I would target Maverick Bork.
Yes.
Who also had a great junior career in the Q. Now having a very nice rookie pro season in the AHL with the Texas Stars. Great playmaker, putting up some pretty decent numbers. I think he has 26 points in 40-something games right now. For a first-year player, that's
fantastic,
pretty solid. And again, I think he was the playoff MVP in the Q last year, if I'm not mistaken. So, going under the assumption that they're not going to give you Wyatt Johnston, they're not going to give you Logan Stankoven.
I was going to say, what would it take to pry Logan Stankoven out of there?
It would take a lot. And I think Dallas, their lineup is so solid already that for Jim Neal, like, I'm not even sure if Jim Neal has anything to do at the trade deadline. I mean, he can tweak, but that Dallas lineup is pretty awesome already.
Yeah.
I had to include them because they are a contender. And, yeah. You know, they are going to want to make
The reports have been with Dallas that they want to get another forward in there to play with us, like on the line with Sagan.
Right.
Because they have that, you know, that fantastic, you know, like that top line. And Jamie Benn's had a resurgence this year.
Totally.
Like, he's been great, but they want to get another forward. So if you want to go and swing for Timo Meier, like, that first price is going to be, what about, like, or even Thomas Hartley even.
I was going to say, Thomas Hartley would be the other option where you have a very promising 2A defenseman with some NHL experience and is still very young.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going for Timo Meier, maybe it takes Bork and Hartley.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Meyer's got the qualifying offer and blah, blah, blah. That's what I would ask for. I don't know if I'll get it, but I'll ask for it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. All right, moving on to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yep.
All right, so, you know, Matthew Nyes, obviously their best prospect.
They don't want to trade him.
They're not going to trade him, so I'm not even
going to
go there. If I'm a seller and I'm dealing with the Leafs, I want Topi Niemelä.
Yeah.
The defenseman, again, tremendous World Junior history for him. I know his numbers in the Liga back in Finland this year aren't as good as they were last year.
No, last year was like almost a point per game.
Yeah,
he was incredible.
Bananas. Yeah. So it's a bit different this year. But again, he's still young. And I think his game will translate very well in North America. So, you know, once his season gets done over there, I'm sure we'll see if he's still property of the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure we'll see him with the Marlies. You know, getting those reps, seeing what he can do over here, getting used to, you know, the smaller ice and whatnot. But, you know, this is a kid with tremendous tools.
Yes.
Very much plays a modern style, you know, puck moving game. So he would be my number one target if I was dealing with the Leafs.
I mean, I think a lot of people brought up Roni Hirvonen just because he has also played very well, but he's not quite on the, like, he's definitely not. People also mistake Hirvonen and Niemelä a lot just because they're both Finns.
Right.
They're both picking the same draft. They're both like around that. But I think Roni Hirvonen is a prospect that Leafs fans can allow themselves to see go, I think.
Right. Because he is a forward.
Because he's a forward. Yeah. He's a winger, too, specifically. Yeah. He's 21. So, yes, he's young, but he's not, like, you know, fresh coming in there. But they are not going to trade Matthew Nyes.
No.
They love him. You know, Ryan has said a million times that every guy he talks to, they say he's an NHL forward right now. He is a great, like, he would be a phenomenal deadline ad for this team. In general,
I almost kind of wonder, like, he could be that playoff style, and it's you can't put the expectations on a kid so young, but it's like I see him as, like, if you just needed him to crash and bang and give you like tertiary offense in the playoffs, like, I wonder if, like, maybe he could.
Look, we've seen college guys step in right before the playoffs, into the playoffs, and thrive. Like, I remember the Chris Kreider year where he came in and he was just wrecking shop. Right. Charlie McAvoy stepped in right away. He wrecked shop. Like, it was great. Matthew Nyes, that's his name. He seems exactly like kind of like that player. Mm. Now, I know they just signed him. They really like him. Fraser Minton, though.
Yeah, I mean, Fraser Minton to me is probably a middle six center.
Yeah.
So he's not like a sexy acquisition. Mm-hmm. I think he could be a solid player. I don't know what his ceiling is at this point. And again, he's playing for that Kamloops team that's just like a juggernaut.
Yeah.
So, you know, the chance to get big numbers is certainly there. I would have him on a different tier.
Okay.
Just because of his ceiling right now, at least on projection.
Now he's only 22, so and this is a different player, not Fraser.
Clearly,
and so he's not technically a prospect because he's played so much. But you know, you hear some things, and you know, you read the tea leaves. Do you think the Leafs would potentially make Rasmus Sandin available in a package like this?
You would have to get something huge because I don't know. I've always been a big Rasmus Sandin fan.
I have as well,
and I don't know. So, like, who replaces him in the lineup?
They have a lot of left shot defensemen. That's the thing. Like, it's, and you're, and listen, again, you know, I'm just going
you're
off
just
of,
spitballing.
I'm just going off the whispers that I've heard and the tea leaves and everything, but like, it's not, you know, sunshine and roses, I think, in that relationship, you know? Like, it's, like, there's a reason why it took so long for that extension to happen. You know, like, Keith was actually pretty open about Sandin's conditioning, I think, towards the end of last year, about how he didn't really enjoy that much. And I think, you know, just from what, again, just from what I heard, this could be, these are just rumblings, whatever. But, like, I think that there is maybe some tension in there, and I don't think that, you know, considering he's a former Sioux guy and everything like that, and Dubas is, like, first round prospect since he took over as GM and everything, so that's great, but, like, I don't think that I don't think that front office of the organization is as tied to Rasmus Sandin based on all that than I think maybe the perception is, you know?
Fair.
And I think, like, I'm a huge Rasmus Sandin fan. I think he's fantastic. I don't think he's playing super great right now, but I do think that, you know, like, the flashes we've seen of him, his decision-making, he's remarkably physical for a younger guy, for a smaller guy and a younger guy. But he's a 22-year-old, you know, like, he's a 22-year-old defenseman who's shown real good flashes at the NHL level, who's a former first-round pick. Like, that could be pretty attractive in a trade package. That's all I'm saying.
If I'm a seller, I would love to have Rasmus Sandin. I would take that deal for sure.
That'd be great. All right, and then finally we're going to the Los Angeles Kings.
Yeah, and the Kings are fascinating because
they have so many prospects.
They have so many prospects. They have so many players. I know we've heard Gabe Vilardi's name out there, which is pretty intriguing. The player I would go for is Brant Clark. And I think his name's been out there a bit too.
He was informed he's not being traded, though. That's been the reports from many people over the weekend because I believe it was Nick Kiprios who said Sunday morning, so on Super Bowl morning, that basically, like, there could be, like, he's hearing that there could be a trade package for LA for Chychrun centered around Brant Clark.
Right.
And then later in the day, it was reported that the Kings have informed Brant Clark that he will not be traded. Like, he is not traded. So I was going to wonder about Alex Turcotte.
Yeah, my only concern about Turcotte is his injury history.
Okay.
Having said that, if you are a seller and you're rebuilding, then the development time he lost doesn't really matter to you because, you know, you're looking at him as a future asset. Now, keep in mind, Alex Turcotte, you know, when he played on that crazy NTDP squad with Jack Hughes and Trevor Zegras, Turcotte was regarded closer to Hughes than Zegras was.
Yes.
And again, it's just his development curve has become a bit longer because of injuries. And, you know, I mean, the Kings, they have so many fun assets.
Yeah.
You know, Samuel Fajimo is another player that, you know, saw a couple of games early this year when he was playing for Ontario in the AHL. And he's a slightly older prospect, but, I mean, he's very intriguing as well, just as a scorer. And something that can produce for you. So if I can't have Brant Clark, I might go, if I'm being kind of conservative, I might go Fajimo over Turcotte. But having said that, I mean, Turcotte, you know, the tools he brought when he was originally drafted were super tantalizing, starting with his skating.
And here's, like, you know, this would be the one that landed the big fish. Like, what about Quinton Byfield?
See, that one's like, if you're the Kings, I don't know if you're that good that you would want to get rid of Byfield because he has still so much potential and he is, you know,
he was going to be a project, obviously.
Yeah, like, he's in that Joe Thornton mode where it's like you're not going to see the best of him when he's like 19 or 20.
Yeah.
You're going to see the best when he's 23, 24.
Yeah.
So I if I'm the Kings, that would be like, you know, off limits. But you think, I mean, you can always ask.
Yeah, but then again, you're like, okay, well, your two top prospects, Brant Clark and Quinton Byfield, they're off the table. So, like, what are we even doing here?
But I would consider Byfield an NHLer at this point.
Really? Like, fully? He's only 20. But okay, all right.
He's on the roster right now. And, you know.
That's okay. That's true. And then I guess finally Edmonton. I said finally for LA, but Edmonton is. Is a team in the NHL. So I mean, look, they we've said this many times, and I will say this once again. There should be. I don't think there should be anyone off limits for the Oilers. I think you've Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl potentially, like, scoring at, like, historic paces for this era of hockey, and you don't have them on your team forever, and you don't have them in their primes forever, And as well, you have guys like Nugent Hopkins and Hyman having career years around them. Like, yeah. It is, and you, yet you are on the playoff bubble. Mm-hmm. It is unacceptable if you potentially miss the playoffs here. It's unacceptable if you don't win a round this year. And honestly, by like decisive fashion too.
Sure,
like you need to, like the expectations are high. I honestly don't think anything should be off the table for the Oilers.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I think, you know, if you're looking at guys that are already on the roster, I'm sure people are looking at, you know, Evan Bouchard, Dylan mm-hmm. Holloway. If I'm going to keep it strictly prospects, mm-hmm. I would ask for Xavier Bourgault,
yeah.
Who, you know, tremendous goal scorer when he was in junior, wish a win again. Now in the pros with Bakersfield, yeah. putting up some decent numbers. I think this is a kid that, you know, still has a lot of potential, but is already realizing some of it. And he's the kind of guy that if you're a seller, you want some skill.
Yes.
You know, you want some pop. And I think he's a player that I don't think the Oilers would want to lose him. But again, if you're going for a Stanley Cup, which they totally should
they
be.
They 100% based, should be, yeah.
What you say, I mean, you got McDavid and Draisaitl in their primes. You know, a package to get you what you need involving Bourgault and maybe, you know, a pick or two, I think would be.
What about Philip Broberg? Do you consider him a prospect still or no? He's an NHLer, I'd say at this point, but like what?
Yeah, I think so. That would be one where I'd really.
You'd really want to get something back for him.
Yeah, it would have to be like a big time, like Timo Meier
yes.
level kind
or,
of thing.
You know, potentially Eric Carlson.
Or Eric Carlson, sure. Yeah.
And if they retain 50%, which means they're strapping themselves to $5.75 million for the next half decade.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have to give up a lot. So.
Yeah. And Broberg is so fascinating because he can do so many different things. Like we've seen him be a shutdown guy. We've seen him put up points. He's obviously big and can skate. Yeah, that would have to be like big time.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, very, very interesting stuff here. All right. Now, would you rather? We're going to play another game here.
Yes.
Because the trade deadline, this might, like, I know I say this every time, but, like, this legitimately is my favorite time of year. Right. I love intra-season movement is fantastic. Inter-season movement is fantastic. I love it. And the NBA just had the craziest deadline. Legitimately, Kevin Durant got traded at the NBA deadline.
Yeah.
That's like if Leon Draisaitl woke up tomorrow and said, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, and then got traded. Yeah. Like, that's
now you play for Minnesota.
Exactly. Now you play, it's absolutely insane. So. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just pulling up the Stadium Series time lapse here
nice.
Because we're going to talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
Very cool. But that's obviously to a different point. Would you rather, playing this game, trade for Ryan O'Reilly or Jonathan Toews? And keep in mind, there are a lot of factors here, right? Like, you know, their age, injury histories, how much they've left in the tank, but also acquisition costs. Because I think it's going to be completely different what these two guys fetch. Let's say you are a buyer, you're a contender,
yeah.
you know, you are going for the Stanley Cup this year. It does not really matter what happens after.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you prefer?
It's a tough one, and I know I came up with the question, but I think I might go Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Because he makes less money, he's slightly younger, he has won a cup, not as many as Taves, but I feel that he could be that difference maker, and he would do so for less of a package. Now, well, I don't know if that's actually fair because
for less of a package. You think Ryan O'Reilly's gonna get less of a package than Jonathan Toews?
No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that is the consideration is because of Toews' salary. Yeah, he might get.
I think
have to give up less for Toews.
You're definitely gonna give up less for Toews.
So, yeah, it is a tough one. I might still go O'Reilly. I'm leaving the door open for you to go Toews.
Well, they're going to ask for a first and prospect for O'Reilly.
Yeah.
And, like, they might get it. And, like, maybe not a blue chip prospect, but they're going to ask for, like, a first round pick, potentially this year, next year, and a prospect. Yeah. Toews, it'll be maybe, like, a second rounder and, like, a, you know, maybe an Anthony Beauvillier type roster player or a prospect that's maybe on that B tier.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, based on Toews' injury history, like, he's dealing with an autoimmune disease.
Sure.
And which means he hasn't played in a little bit. Mm. Like and so that's it's very there's a potential and it's terrible that he's dealing with that, you know. And obviously we hope that it's okay. It robbed him of an entire season.
It did.
But like there's a potential that on day one of the playoffs that could flare up and you've lost him, you know. And that's it's a horrible thing, but in the realm of contending sports, like unfortunately you have to take those in consideration.
Very true.
Ryan O'Reilly on the other hand, look, he's not having the best year this year. He was injured for a lot of it, but I mean, this is a, like, you know, this is a phenomenal at this point, like a luxury piece for your middle six. Like, he's a second line center any day of the week, and you know, like a guy who's always in the Selke conversation when he's at the top of his game. I you know, he's the cap. Both these guys are captains, obviously. Yeah. So it's leadership. It's tough because I do think that adding Jonathan Toews to a roster for like a second rounder and a B prospect is just such a win. Like, that would be great. But then you risk the injury stuff. Like, you really do risk, like, the day of game one of the playoffs. You know, no, like, totally uncontrollable to him, but his condition flares up. And then you're missing Jonathan Toews, you know. Whereas Ryan O'Reilly, you know, I think it's more, you know, like, I guess sort of like trustworthy in that sense, or maybe reliable. And I hate to say that because it's definitely not Jonathan Toews' fault, obviously. Right. I think if you twisted my arm, I'd have to go O'Reilly, just because I think, you know, he's younger, he's still kind of in his prime, and I think he could be really rejuvenated. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be a steep price to pay for him.
It will. I will say the one rumor or proposal I heard that was so intriguing was Jonathan Toews to Winnipeg, because obviously he's from there. Yeah. That, like, injecting him into a Jets dressing room that is already, like, just super great vibes right now.
Yeah.
I think that would be amazing for the Jets.
I think Rick Bowness is, like, genuinely aroused at the thought of coaching a player like Jonathan Toews. Like, think about the type of hockey Rick Bowness likes to play.
Yeah.
Jonathan Toews is like that gets him going, I think. Yeah. That's in honor of Valentine's Day. All right, and then finally, but unbeknownst to me until just this moment, the Stadium Series is this weekend.
That's right, Washington, Carolina.
Very, very cool. Unfortunately, Alexander Ovechkin will not be playing in that. I'm not sure if you saw that, but he will be. He's away from the team indefinitely, it says. Or they didn't say indefinitely, but we don't know. To deal with a family health matter, so obviously we're sending all our best to Alex and the Ovechkin family. But yeah, it's the Carolina Hurricanes in the Washington Capitals, apparently playing outdoors.
That's right.
I did.
NC State's football stadium.
Very cool. Yeah. It would have been great if the NHL marketed this at all.
They have not been.
I have not seen anything for it.
Really? I get the emails all the time.
Well, I don't get... Yeah. Oh, is every fan subscribed to the NHL media newsletter? I don't think so.
But I will... If I'm not mistaken, tickets sold for this super quick.
Oh, great. Because it's a great local product, obviously.
Yes.
Like they're doing, but, like, it would be great if they could advertise it so everyone knew to watch it on TV. Because like, we just heard that the NHL ratings are down 22%. It's a big deal. I love outdoor games. Yeah. I watch them even if I just tune in for the start to watch the spectacle. Had no idea. I wrote the news hit for this when it was announced. Completely forgot it was happening this week. To the point where I had to pull up an image of it right now.
Yeah.
It looks fine. It's raining in this picture. So, but look, it's yet another, you know, outdoor hockey rink. Looks very cool.
But here's what I like about it, and this is sort of the crux of this topic. They're gonna have a marching band.
Oh, there you go. We've never seen that before. So
they're gonna do it college football style.
I do like that.
I love that concept. You know, when I was daydreaming the other day about when I own an OHL franchise, I was thinking, how would I get more fans in the stands? And I was like, pep band.
Yeah.
When you go to an NCAA NCAA hockey game, you get the pep bands there.
Yeah.
They're doing the fight songs. And then, you know, they do covers of, like, pop songs and whatnot. It's super fun. And so I love the idea where, you know, they're NCAA territory and they're going to have a marching band there. I think that's fantastic. Just a little extra something for the Carolina fans and the visiting Washington fans to occupy their time during this latest outdoor game.
Very, very cool.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm so happy I learned about it. My job is to cover the NHL.
I didn't know.
All right. Ryan, rapid fire is yours this week. I'm ready. My body is ready. My mind is ready.
Nice.
Let's do this.
Rapid fire is go. First one's super rapid. What song do you have stuck in your head right now?
Something from TikTok. I have the Miley Cyrus song Flowers stuck in my head. I can buy myself flowers. It's a great sort of like revenge song. I don't like that I have it stuck in my head
because
everyone likes to use it as the backdrop of their videos, and unfortunately it is haunting me in my nightmares.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's the fun thing about getting songs stuck in your head. You don't get to choose what they are.
No, exactly. Yeah. And then they just never leave.
For me, it's Everglade by L7.
Oh, cool.
Grunge era band. I don't know how it got in there. I haven't listened to that song in a while, but it's a great song, so I'm not mad about
it. The opposite ends of the spectrum on that one.
Exactly. Yep. Next question. I feel like you're going to love this one. Okay, or hate it. I don't know.
Okay.
DC or Marvel?
Oh, boy. This is... I gotta get comfortable here. See, this is
rapid fire, keep in mind.
Oh, keep in mind. Okay. So this is the question that will define my my perception online, I think. You know, look, I'm obviously a huge comic fan. Comics were my only friends growing up. And so I do think if you had to put, like, if you put a gun to my head, I'd say DC, just because of Batman. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, DC was, because DC had better cartoons when I was growing up.
Gotcha.
Like, DC had the Batman the animated series, Superman the animated series, and then going through, whereas the way Marvel really dropped the ball on the animated stuff, like, they didn't, like, the only thing that really was good for Marvel at that point was the, was like the X-Men animated series and Spider-Man animated series, and that was like that happened like before I was born.
I was gonna say, yeah, you missed that.
So it was still like airing on like YTV and stuff in Canada, but like it wasn't, you know, like right in the moment.
Yeah.
So I would say, because like, look, I watched the first like 15 minutes of the Batman like 3 times a week just for vibes. Like it's, and I think I'd have to go DC. The Flash trailer dropped during the Super Bowl, and it has Ben Affleck Batman and Michael Keaton Batman in it. I'm extremely excited, but like, it is real. It really is like choosing between like your favorite child. Like I love both of them so much.
Yeah.
Like I've said many times, the last time I cried was the last time I actually shed tears was in the theater when the Avengers assembled in Avengers Endgame. Yeah. So it like they both very much matter to me. But gun in my head, I'd say DC.
Fair enough. I'm going Marvel all the way. I was a huge X-Men fan growing up, and Wolverine, Nightcrawler is my favorite. I feel even the I don't want to say all the bad guys are better, because obviously the Joker is like
this is where we disagree.
You don't like the Joker?
DC DC has better villains.
Better than Magneto?
The roster runs so much deeper. And keep in mind they made Thanos, like Thanos was a big villain in one comic. Yeah. They made Thanos a cultural event in the movies.
They did. Here's what I'll say, though, is like the DC, I don't know, for all the DC villains I see, they're all just like, he's a really evil guy. There's no like backstory. It's like, he just hates stuff.
You're incorrect, Ryan.
Steppenwolf?
No one knows who Steppenwolf was.
Exactly.
There's a reason why they changed it to Darkseid. But like,
even Darkseid, it's like, yeah, he's just a big bad guy from outer space. Like, versus Magneto, who has like an incredible backstory.
Mr. Freeze, he's only doing this to save his wife. He doesn't actually care. Like, his wife was stricken with a health condition. She had to be cryogenically frozen. And then he was betrayed by his philanthropic donor and was forced to live in a case of ice where he can no longer feel emotion, so he can't even feel the love of his wife that he's doing this for. The Joker, he had one bad day, drove him crazy. There's so many. I think DC has better straight up villains, because after you go Magneto Thanos really, and that, and like maybe Loki, but Loki was never like, Loki's a not really a villain, he's an anti-hero. They have an entire Disney Plus series for him.
Right.
And on top of that too, he was never a huge villain in the comics.
Yeah.
They made him that. You took, like, after that, you can't name anyone. Ironmonger? No. Yellowjacket? No. You go through any of these characters? No.
Purple Man? Did you see Jessica Jones?
Okay. But that's not even part of the MCU anymore, really.
So I don't care about it. It's part of the comics.
So, like, but you look at DC, like, their villains are on such a high... Even Batman alone has
quick question, because we're getting off the rails.
Sorry.
How come Batman just doesn't tell Superman to kill the Joker?
Because Batman's not going to kill. Zack Snyder wrongly made him kill in that movie. But Batman, the Batman's life was ruined when someone killed his parents. When he watched his parents get gunned down, and so he decided to never cross that line, because if he did, he would never be able to come back.
Fair enough. Anyways, I'm Team Marvel. Obviously, you're DC.
Look, I love
it's good,
and I love Marvel so much.
It's okay.
It is like literally they're
not going to come to your house.
They're like right there.
It's okay.
Yeah,
that was good. Okay, next question. Going back to hockey.
Okay.
What is your favorite hockey name, which is to say pro teams? You can go NHL, AHL, ECHL, you can go lower than that if you want, but like favorite like moniker, mascot, whatever you want to call it. What's the best name in hockey right now, in pro hockey?
It's a really good one. I mean, I love the Firebirds. Like I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like it differentiates it. It's not, you know, like that's tough, man. Like, I really like originality, obviously.
Yeah.
And dang, that's really tough, man. Like, I mean,
Coachell Valley Firebirds. That's
Coachell Valley Firebirds is really good. Like, I obviously love, I think the Golden Knights are such a great team name. Like, I really, it's really grown on me, and I really do like it. Obviously, the Kraken are awesome.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I think the Firebirds are great. I really like that. I like it when a name, like, sort of matches the vibe of, like, even, for example, like, the Calgary Wranglers. I love that name.
Yes, that's a good one, too.
That you know, like, oh, you're going to go see the Wranglers? You know that's, like, Calgary.
Yes.
Like, I picture, like, a cowboy in my head when I see that, and I think that's perfect. So, yeah, I'm going to go with those two. I think that's
great.
All
right, cool. For me, it's a toss-up between two ECHL teams. One, the Orlando Solar Bears.
Oh, I love the Solar Bears.
I love the pun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the new Savannah Ghost Pirates.
Because
as our managing editor, Edward Fraser, pointed out, it's not a pirate that became a ghost. It's a ghost that decided to be a pirate.
Yeah. Now,
and
here,
that's incredible.
For none of you, for you who have not traveled with Ryan a lot lately, you know, and keep in mind, in the last like 6 or so months or 7 months, I've traveled with Ryan on extended road trips on 3 separate occasions.
Yeah.
This man will not stop talking about the Savannah Ghost Pirates. He loves them. So
Savannah
Ghost Pirates, like, send this guy merch, man. He's your biggest fan.
All summer long, I was just waiting for their jersey to drop.
Seriously?
Just so I could see it.
Oh, man.
I just kept going back to their website.
I love it. Send Ryan Kennedy some merch. He needs it. He is your biggest supporter.
There you go. Okay, next related question.
Okay.
What's your favorite logo in pro sports or pro hockey right now?
Boy, logo. Mm-hmm. This is going to be so sacrilegious here. I love the Boston Bruins spoked B.
Fair.
I think it is just so classic. I also love the Detroit Red Wings spoked wing. I think they're just so classic.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's just something about it. I also love, the, as they call it, the meth bear. For Boston. I just think it's, like, the perfect retro vibe.
Yeah.
I love when mascots are just, like, funny little guys.
Yeah.
And that is the funniest little guy there is. So I love that. Yeah.
Nice. You will detect a theme on mine.
Oh, boy.
My favorite logo is the Milwaukee Admirals.
Yeah, they're great.
Which is like
another
a skeleton pirate.
Yeah.
I actually have an old Milwaukee Admirals jersey when they had a different skull pirate, which was also very solid.
What about the Norfolk Admirals?
Also good, but they don't have a skeleton pirate.
I mean, aren't they the same? Didn't one just turn into the other?
No, they were, like, at the same time.
Oh,
there
wow.
was two Admirals.
There were
one
two
was
Admirals?
Because one was in the IHL.
Yeah, okay.
One was in the IHL, one was in the AHL, and then...
That's like in the CFL when there were, like, six teams and there were, like, two Rough Riders. That's just shows Canadian creativity right there.
All right. Final question.
Yes.
What is the newest band or artist that you've gotten into?
Newest band or artist I've gotten
What's
into?
What's your latest discovery?
Okay, this is going to sound really cliche, and I'm not, like, keep in mind, like, I in terms of music, I'm very nostalgia-driven. Like, I like to listen to the stuff that formed me for happiness. I do listen to music, like, just at, like, to elicit emotions. I don't listen to it, like, for tactical reasons. Like, I listen to podcasts when I'm on the go and whatnot, but for music, like, if I'm feeling happy and I'm walking somewhere, I listen to happy songs. If I'm feeling sad, I listen to a sad song. And, you know, like a friend of mine introduced me to the 1975.
Okay.
And I got a little bit, and I'm starting to get a little bit into them. Like, their song About You is fantastic. Love it. But, yeah, in terms of, like, artists that I'm really getting into, like, I haven't really dipped my toe into a lot of new ones yet. But, yeah, I'd have to say 1975. But then again, I'm not by any means a super fan. I haven't listened to a ton of their catalog. Right. But
that's okay. You're just getting into
exactly.
it. So that totally qualifies.
Yeah.
For me, because I am an old,
yes.
I don't have as much time as usual
mm-hmm.
to get into things, but I did, over the holidays, buy an album by a death metal band called Bear Mace.
Yes.
And
you told me about Bear Mace.
Yeah, one of the first songs is called Destroyed by Bears, which I think is hilarious. They're from Chicago. They're very good. They actually remind me of a hardcore band called Phobia, who I love.
They should have used some Bear Mace.
Should have.
Yeah.
That's right. So Bear Mace is... I was thinking about it. I was like, man, I don't, like, discover much music anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But Bear Mace was a new discovery, and I was very pleased by it.
Okay.
That's the end of Rapid Fire.
Yeah, and that brings us
on
in...
On that note,
that brings us into the podcast. This was a fun one. Hopefully, by the time next week, we will be talking about a Jacob Chychrun trade. Potentially, that could be the thing. So until then, hopefully you guys enjoy your Valentine's Day. Don't let Jacob Chychrun watch distract you from giving love to your partners and significant loved ones, our significant others. And on that note, Ryan, and also if you'd like to listen to this podcast, any of the other podcasts on the Hockey News Network, or any past episodes, we have the archives at thehockeynews.com/podcast. Go there and just listen for the entire day. It's great. Ryan, see you next week.
See you next week.